Good morning, everybody. Welcome. Happy Father's Day. So we're going to have some fun today in the park. Let's have a word of prayer together, and we can sing. Father, we thank you so much for gathering us here. Lord, but we also remember it's a tumultuous time in our world. And Father, we pray that you would make each of us instruments of your peace. Father, we pray that you would just touch our country. Lord, that you would bring unity and sound minds. Lord, that we would come together with solutions rather than screaming words at each other. Father, I pray that we would be able to treat one another humanely. Lord, that Father, that you would just infiltrate your church with your spirit and give us the ability to love, give us the ability to show the fruit of your spirit, the kindness, the joy, the patience. Father, that we would be ambassadors in our neighborhoods, in our communities, ambassadors of your peace. We pray now as we worship that you would be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. If you guys saw everything we go through while setting up and trying to get everything working, you too would be amazed that it works out. It works out. You know, we started this Miracles of Jesus series, looking each week at a different miracle of Christ, but specifically what that miracle tells us about his character, about who he is and what he does. This morning I have a fishing hat on. Tell you about my fishing ability. I went fishing once when I was about 10 years old and I caught a fish. I pulled it out, and just like on the TV shows, I grabbed a hold of it, and it was a yellow perch. So, about this big. But I didn't know that those things that stick out of it, the fin, hurts like a bugger. Those are like needles. And so here I was, I just grabbed a hold of it and went, ow! And so from then on, I did not fish. Until my son Josh was, he was probably 6 or 7, and he wanted to go fishing. What kind of father doesn't take his kid fishing? So we went out, we got poles, and we already had a canoe, and we put in this little river down in Alfred, and Robin was going to drop us here and then meet us down where the dam is over there, and we were gonna fish. Well, I started fishing and praying, Lord, don't let us catch anything. That's opposite of what most fishermen pray. Most fishermen pray that they catch things. While I'm praying, I don't want to catch anything. So I'd rather not catch anything. And so I am showing, you know, Josh how to bait the hook. And we're just using nothing big and fancy. We're just using worms and that's it. And putting them on and throwing them out. He's not noticing that I'm not even baiting my hook. I just throw it out like, oh, darn, nothing again, nothing again. As we're floating down the river, downstream, all of a sudden Josh goes, Dad, I got something. And he's reeling, and I'm going, all right, buddy, looks like you got something. And his pole is bending over. I'm thinking, Lord, what have I done? Well, Josh can't bring it in by himself, so I'm like, I go over and help him. We pull out this 19-inch long skinny fish that has a jaw with teeth. Now, you fishermen know what that is, right? What's that? A pickerel. I don't want to take a hook out of a fish that has teeth. I don't even want to touch the fish. So I said, I know what we'll do, bud. Mom will be so excited to see this fish. We should just leave it on and drag it all the way down to the van where Mom is, so we could show her how you caught a fish. We got all the way down to where the van was. Josh is holding that fish still on the hook like this, and we're yelling, look, we got a fish, we got a fish, we got a fish, and we're making a big deal out of it. And we're like, wow, this is incredible. I still don't want to take that off the hook. So we go and we go up into the little portage place and we pull our canoe out and we bring the fish up on the side and I look at it and it's pretty dead by now. And this is how I took the hook out. Put the fish on the ground, stepped on the fish and went, and yanked out, I think, everything that was inside it. So I think I cleaned the fish. I was cleaning the fish. And so we said, okay, now we're going to let it go, buddy, so it can go back in and make other fish. A fish is like, nah. I said, no, it'll swim away. Don't worry, it'll swim away. And I put it in, and it's kind of floating off. And I'm like, he's sleeping right now. He'll wake up in a minute. We get into the van, and Josh says, Mom, did you see my fish? It was big, huh? I got a big fish. And she said, what? No, I wasn't looking. I've been reading a book. These are my experiences with fishing. So today, we're going to talk about how Jesus stepped in and performed a fish miracle. But to start off, I need somebody to come up and read Luke 5, 1 through 11. Who wants to come up and read Luke 5, 1 through 11? I have it right here on my tablet. I'll let you borrow it. And you can stand right over here. How small is Katie? Look at her mic. You can use Todd's mic, maybe. Find a mic that works over there. Here you go. And you can look it up, Google, whatever. Luke 5, 1 through 11. Oh, that's perfect.
One day, as Jesus was preaching on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, great crowds pressed in on him to listen to the word of God. He noticed two empty boats at the water's edge, for the fishermen had left them and were washing their nets. Stepping into one of the boats, Jesus asked Simon, its owner, to push it out into the water. So he sat in the boat and taught the crowds from there. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Now go out where it is deeper and let down your nets to catch some fish." "Master," Simon replied, "we worked hard all last night and didn't catch a thing. But if you say so, I'll let the nets down again." And this time their nets were so full of fish they began to tear. A shout for help brought their partners in the other boat, and soon both boats were filled with fish and on the verge of sinking. When Simon Peter realized what had happened, he fell to his knees before Jesus and said, "Oh Lord, please leave me. I'm such a sinful man." For he was awestruck by the number of fish they had caught, as were the others with him. His partners, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, were also amazed. Jesus replied to Simon, "Don't be afraid. For now on, you'll be fishing for people." And as soon as they landed, they left everything and followed Jesus.
Thank you. The sons of Zebedee, or as we like to call them around here, ZBDB. That was one year in our Easter, our Monday, Thursday practice. And I won't say who, because I don't want to embarrass him, but his initials were Steve Jones. Said,
reading his part, ZBDB. We love that. It'll forever be a ZBDB. I love this story. I love this story. And because number one, when I look into the miracles of Jesus, I'm looking for insight into its character. I'm always asking, who? What did he do? Where was he? And what was the outcome? And I just kind of look at that and see about Jesus through that. So the first thing I see in this story is that Jesus is an awesome teacher. He gets creative. He uses a boat as a pulpit. That's like today, maybe preaching from a food truck. I don't know, pull up a food truck and people gather. Jesus does whatever he has to do to reach the people that are coming to hear him. He uses whatever is available to teach people about how awesome God is and how much God loves them. So he's an awesome teacher. He used boats, he used fig trees, he used mountainsides. He's not limited by location. He's a flexible teacher. Roland is a flexible teacher. He has to be. With his students, he is a flexible teacher because things don't always go as planned. Any of you who are teachers, you know things change and you have to be flexible in order to be effective. Well, you look at Jesus and how flexible he was, I look and I think, wow, what a great teacher he was. I had a teacher in high school. He was my history teacher. And I remember him because he used to always wear like the gaudiest plaid suit he could find, the brightest ties he could find. And he would walk down the hall, and everyone was always watching out for him, of being like, oh, here he comes, and kind of fun. He was just kind of fun. Maybe he had this impact on me. I don't know. But he would go, and he taught American history. And the way he taught it, he would say, we're doing this unit here. You guys are the South. You guys are the North. On this day coming, we are going to act out a discussion, a play here, and there's extra points, extra credits for everybody who dresses in character. And we did it. We dressed in character and came to school looking like Union soldiers, looking like women with the large skirts, looking, and we had fun with it. And you know what happened? We ended up learning more than we were learning anywhere else. You know, there's Edgar Dale's cone of experiential learning that goes like this, and it shows that if we hear a message, we retain a certain point. Most they say 5%. If we hear it and see it, it bumps up to 10 or 15% that we retain. But if we experience it, then it jumps up to 80% retained. That's why I always use a lot of props. I use a lot of props because you remember those props. You remember if I pull out a chicken out of my pocket right now, I bet you can remember what our last series was. And what we talked about, right? Don't be a chicken. Fear not. Jesus used whatever he had to use. But he was like my teacher times 10. Times 10. If he was today, I wonder, in that situation, if he might have asked, you know, like, Sherry, can I use your kayak with your GoPro on it to just push out here? So that I can talk to these people. Maybe, you know, it would have been whatever's available. But in that situation, he had something in mind for talking about fishing, because these guys were fishermen. So the crowds were pressing on him. We know that the Bible says the crowds were pressing on him, and he looked around, he spotted the boats, and boom. He says, I'm going to use those so everyone can see and hear. That amazes me. Jesus is an awesome teacher. The second thing that hops out to me in this passage is that Jesus is an amazing provider. Now, the guys had fished all night and caught nothing. Nada. Zilch. And this is different than you guys who have jobs that are other jobs and you fish for fun with a cooler. You're okay being like, I didn't catch much, but it was a good day. But it's not your income. These guys, it was their income. And so they were there and they're minding their nets. And Jesus steps in with a line that sounds like every backseat fisherman ever. Hey, you guys, why don't you throw the nets over there? Over the other side. Why don't you do that? Man, that's annoying. I don't know if you guys ever have something like this happen in your field. But like when I was a wedding photographer, and you've got these 8 hours to photograph these people, this is your one shot to get their memories. It's a lot of pressure. And when you have that person who's standing over you going, hey, hey, do you think that'd be a great shot over there? What about if we did that? Hey, did you think that sun behind them is really going to give you dark faces and everything? I don't really have the time to explain to you. That's why I'm using a fill flash and those two tent lights right there. We got it. Get away. And I think the fishermen probably were feeling that way too. Like, we are professional fishermen. Hey, carpenter, stay in your lane. Get out of here. But they humored him. They humored him. I can imagine what they were thinking. But still, they said, okay, we'll do it. They go out. They drop their nets on the other side where he said, drop them over there. He drops them over there. And suddenly, the nets are breaking. The boats are sinking. There are so many fish. These guys are yelling out to other fishermen, hey, quick, bring your boat over here. It's going to sink. We've got too many fish. Just by doing what Jesus told them to do. See, when Jesus gets involved, he fills what we think is finished, what we think is complete. What we think is hopeless, when Jesus gets involved, he has the power, he has the desire to make it abundant. Make it abundant. Jesus doesn't just give, he overflows. You notice 2 weeks ago when we talked about water into wine? He didn't just give, he gave the best. And he gave about 180 gallons worth. In these jars that were normally used for ceremonial washing. Something that was used for a different purpose that was so commonplace, Jesus said, I can take the common and make it incredible. And people said, that was the best wine we've ever had. You waited until the end, that was the best. See, the other thing, I've heard people be like, this is not a good story because this is a terrible thing because those men, he said, come and follow me. And they left their career and their family to go follow him. And they left them most likely destitute. I'm like, did you miss sinking boats filled with fish? He not only filled the nets, but that provided for the families of those men because this was their profession. They had a haul like they had never had a haul before. And so suddenly as they're leaving and saying, we're going to follow this man, we're not going to fish anymore. And their wives go, what? They say, don't worry, let me tell you what just happened. and how much fish we were able to sell. You're okay. You're okay for a while. The third thing I see in this is Jesus is a compassionate leader. He has compassion. He has compassion. When it says, when Simon Peter realized what had happened, he fell to his knees before Jesus and said, "Oh Lord, please leave me. I'm such a sinful man." He was like, "I don't even deserve to be in your presence." Because he was awestruck by the number of fish they had caught, as were the others with him. His partners, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, were also amazed. And so when I look and I see the compassion here, how does Jesus react when Simon says this, when Simon Peter says this? He doesn't look at Simon Peter and go, "You are so right. You are a hot mess. Yeah, you're right. Nope, you're a sinful man, so I'm taking off. All right, see you later." Instead, he reacts and he says, "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid." He settles him. He calms him. He acts toward him in compassion. And he says, he conveys, "You're okay. You can be in my presence." Simon Peter was like, "I just witnessed something that is of God. Because we fished all night, caught nothing, dropped the nets where you said to fish, and you just about sank two boats." So Simon Peter knows. He knows. This man represents God. There's something here. I think if Jesus, like Jesus is almost like that coach, that rare coach that you had, that when you blew the shot or you made a crucial mistake in your sport or whatever, he's that coach that said, "Hey, listen, it happens. Come on, let's try again." Whether you play an instrument, whether you're in theater and you miss a line, no matter what it is, that person who's in your life who's not harsh but says, "Let's try it again." That's the compassion I see in Christ. I think if Jesus had a LinkedIn, I think it would say in his bio, "Specializes in turning hot messes into holy messengers." That he specializes in turning hot messes into holy messengers. And we're going to get to more of that. And the fourth thing I see is that Jesus is a total life changer. Jesus doesn't just say, "Hey, cool catch, guys." He says, "From now on, you will fish for people. From now on, you will fish for people." He calls Simon, James, and John to something bigger. Something bigger. It's kind of like if you win the lottery, but instead of winning the lottery of money, you win a lottery of purpose. Now, some of you look and you go, "I would rather have the money." You know, when we don't have money, we want more. And even people who have a lot of money, they still want more. They still want more. And so Jesus is saying, "I'm going to give you purpose, not money. You're going to go from casting nets day after day, night after night, to changing the world. You're going to change people's lives." So they leave behind security, fish, and boats for this purpose. This purpose. You know that people I've known who are slaves to money, I've known some very wealthy people who are slaves to money. They always ask me if there's more to life. They always ask me and have this emptiness of feeling, what is my purpose? Now, I had friends
He was a urologist. She was an architect. And these people had resources, money, but they had the purpose of Christ and were life changers. They had so much money, they were able to underwrite a ministry all on their own, a missionary. They had so much money that they put that away in addition to what they were blessing their church with, in addition to what they were giving away. They said, these are God's resources that he's given us, and our purpose is to change lives, to give people hope, to give people a future, to give people just a sense that it's not all doom. You know what that's called? It's being called saved. It's being called saved, rescued from our own sin. Being a life changer is purpose. King Solomon in his old age, and they say that he was the richest man that has ever been on the planet Earth, that he could buy Elon, okay? He was very wealthy. He wrote this in Ecclesiastes 2, starting in verse 10. Anything I wanted, I would take. I denied myself no pleasure. I even found great pleasure in hard work, a reward for all my labors. But as I looked at everything I had worked so hard to accomplish, it was all so meaningless, like chasing the wind. There was nothing really worthwhile anywhere. You know, I've heard that. I've heard that with people who have everything but lack purpose. So when Jesus was talking to these fishermen, and he said, come with me, I will make you fishers of men. See, these nets represent, they're like fishing nets, pretend. They're really butterfly catchers. All right? But these nets, they're empty, but they could be used to catch fish, or at least bring that pickerel in out of the boat. They could be used for that. But Jesus said, those nets that you have, I want you to leave those aside, because I have something different for you. I have purpose for you. I have life-changing purpose for you. You are going to be an instrument that changes course of life for people. So he said, I have something different for you. He said, I have some walking boots. You're going to walk with purpose. You're going to live with purpose. You're going to put these on, and you're going to become fishers of men. You're going to become people who help men discover purpose and salvation through me. So what we have to do today is we have to ask ourselves, what do we want? At the end of life, if you're chasing wealth, your nets really, in terms of purpose, they're empty. You know, like King Solomon. Yeah, I look around, I built this and I built that, and I had this giant thing and I had that giant thing, but what have I done to leave a legacy or change this planet? Have I impacted one person? Have I changed one life? Have I shared the hope of the good news with one person? Or are my nets empty? We've got to decide, do we want to choose to pursue the empty nets, or a mission, a purpose, and the walking boots? For me, I've chosen in my life the walking boots. The walking boots. See, as I conclude here, when Jesus shows up, I think four things happen. Four things happen. Number one, he speaks right into your situation. He speaks right to your situation. Number two, he provides in ways that you did not see coming.
He provides in ways you did not see coming. Number three, he lifts you up when you feel unworthy. He lifts you up when you feel unworthy. And number four, he gives your life a whole new direction. For me, my direction, those walking boots, I just look at the fulfillment I have in my simple life, my simple living, and I think, man, this is awesome. I love following Jesus. I just love it. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, I thank you for showing us time and time again through Scripture who you are. You show us your character and your miracles. You show us your personality. You show us in everything that you do how you come to us with the same message that says, I have come that you might have life and have it to the full. Lord, that has nothing to do with getting more and having more wealth, more gold in our coffers. But Lord, the abundance of living in purpose and on purpose, I just continue to overflow. Lord, go with us today, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a great week, guys. And let's go fishing.